In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Blessed Corpus Christi Day. How wonderful it is to be with you. It has been a while since my last visitation. I cannot remember where it was, actually. Maybe Father John David may remember. But we've been through a lot in the last few years. So let me express first my gratitude to your Rector, Father Van Dolen, for his faithful pastoral care and leadership during these very difficult and challenging times. And to all the lay leaders of the parish, of our vestry, all the people who are involved in the mission and ministry, for their hard work alongside him. The church, most foremost, is the people. So to all of you here present and online, I express my deep gratitude for your commitment to this parish community, to one another, and most importantly, to Jesus. It is a joyful and hopeful day. And that's what I want to talk about today. If anything can be said about Jesus, it certainly is not being conflict averse or afraid of stirring the pot, so to speak. He said many courageous things and these outlandish things that offended the religious authorities and the priests of all today. And in today's gospel story, he does it again when he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What a shocking and extraordinary claim this is. Imagine yourself hearing this for the first time. As the story continues, we hear that the people who heard it were shocked and disturbed and offended. They said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? But clearly, they did not understand it. But how are we to understand this? What does it mean that Jesus himself is the living bread whose flesh is the source of life for you and for me and for the world? The whole discourse on bread in John chapter 6 began with a miracle story. A large crowd was with Jesus in the mountain, and when the evening came, they found themselves with no food. There was an anonymous little boy who had 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish, which he offered to Jesus. And Jesus blessed this meager food and had the disciples distributed it to the crowd of 5,000. As the story goes, they ate their fill and there was even left over. But the true miracle of this story is the fact that two very ordinary, humble offerings, non-human child and a piece of barley bread play central role in this wondrous miracle. The Italian Nobel laureate Pablo Neruda wrote a poem called Ode to Bread. And it begins with these words: bread, how simple and how profound you are. Bread is the most common and ordinary food of all. Yet it is the universal symbol of human survival, the profound beauty of bread is in its ordinary simplicity. What Jesus offered on the cross was his ordinary human self, his flesh and blood, and gave all of it humbly and sacrificially. And out of the death and resurrection of this ordinary, innocent human victim, the extraordinary grace of God to me was revealed. A few years ago, when I was still in seminary, a group of us went on a mission trip to Cuba. We wanted to learn how God's mission was being carried out in a very different social and political context from ours. One of the events to which we were invited during the trip was a birthday party for a youth member of the cathedral in Havana. When the youth members began arriving, they brought presents. Some brought an egg each. Some others a pint of milk each. Others a can of Coke each. Or plenty of bread. Or some pieces of luncheon meat. And the youth group leader baked a birthday cake. And before we knew it, we had tea. We had plenty for everybody. Now we have a couple of birthday parties too here. The difference is that what each child brought for that birthday party was far more than we would normally get, because food was rationed in Cuba in those days. What each child brought was his or her ration of food for that entire day, or even for several days. And for the youth group leader who baked the cake, there were several days worth of flour and eggs to bake that cake. They were not simply sharing the food that they brought. They were sharing sacrificial love. The food they were sharing reflected the pain and the struggle of their daily life, of their daily reality. They were carrying the love of the crucified Christ in flesh beneath them and among them. This ordinary birthday meal was the body of Christ. Neruda writes toward the end of his poem, "Every living thing will have its share of soil and life. And the bread we eat each morning, everyone's daily bread, will be hallowed and sacred because it will have been won by the longest and the costliest human struggle. The sacredness of bread comes from the life toils and struggles and sacrifices associated with it. The bread of life which Jesus gave for the world, the body of Christ, is sacred because it cost his life, his sweat and tears, his flesh and blood, his sacrificial love. The story of Jesus is the ultimate story of redemption. The redemption of the world won by the sacrificial love on the cross. You know, if there's anything I've learned during these pandemic years, it is to appreciate the gift of life and not to take it for granted, and to value the common life of humanity, the human community. The Corpus Christi is not just a doctrinal theory or a mere idea, but it has profound implications for this very life we live, our common life of struggle and hope as human beings. The Corpus Christi cannot be just about the technicality of the substance, the bread, changing into the substance of the flesh of Jesus. God does not need the doctrine of transubstantiation to be God. Jesus does not need the transubstantiation to be Jesus, the Son of God and the second person of the Trinity. What the Corpus Christi captures is the unending rhythm of life here and now. We need transubstantiation to be human, to be human community, to make our continuous struggles and sacrifices holy and sacred. We face many challenges. We've been through that recently, both individually and collectively. Yet you God rise again to a new life. Life rises again out of the smoldering ashes of violence and war. Life rises again out of the destruction, injustice, and dehumanizing oppression of the innocent people. Life always because nothing can trample down the God's spirit of life. So Neruda ends his ode to bread in these words. This earthly victory does not have wings. She wears bread on her shoulders instead. Courageously she soars, setting the world free. Like a baker born aloft from the mist. The Corpus Christi is not a pie in the sky. It has no meaning. And as far as the incarnation goes, the Corpus Christi is and must be the most profound and concrete revelation of the Word made flesh. He died and rose